All right, brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles, going back into Ephesians in that third chapter. And we left off with the intimate knowledge and understanding of the riches that are beyond in suffering together with Christ Jesus. I believe we know it. I believe that God is enlightening the eyes of our understanding to see it, behold it, and embrace it, and truly to have that affection for the sufferings with Christ, even as Brother Paul. Brother Paul prayed that we would know, and be filled, as we'll read on down, with all the fullness of God. All. To be filled with all the fullness of God. He prayed that we too would run like him to keep that faith. Praise Lord. Praise the Lord. To someday, by the grace of God, win that race, to finish with joy, and to wear a crown of righteousness with him. And brothers and sisters, it's going to come but one way, and that's embracing the joy in suffering. Count it all joy is exactly what it is. Exactly what it says. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy that is set before us, God help us to see the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So in that we left off. And with that vision, I believe too that we can move as Paul and pray for others, to pray for ourselves, to attain to that state of love that we're going to go into. And it's a state of love that it's exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And let's get right into it. We'll pick it up from the 14th verse of the third chapter. And it says there, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Now Paul is so sweetly going to begin to ask for the fivefold supplication. A fivefold supplication. And don't let that word scare you, that word supplication. It just merely means to ask God to supply something. Please don't be afraid to ask God to supply something. That's God's specialty, to supply something. And not just to supply something, he supplies everything. Always having all sufficiency, and all things may abound to every good work. And as we know that that's his specialty, we learn to ask. And if we ask, we receive. And we ask according to the will of God and believe him at his word. And we see that Paul is even showing us. And again, this is the Spirit. This isn't to magnify Paul. This is the love of God that does this. There's a fervent thing that's hitting Paul here. He hits his knees. It brings out the importance to bow down, to get down, to be lowly. If you want something, by the grace of God, he giveth grace to the humble. And it's not just a position of physical, it's the position of spiritual. We're going to talk about this, and I believe God is going to bring some things more and more to the surface, brothers and sisters. Do we really want to win him or not? Have we really been sitting under these things for all of these years to occupy, to be the bride, or to occupy? There's a difference. All right. But we see this urgency. We see there's a necessity for these saints to be filled with all the fullness of God. And before we go on here, realize this. These are Spirit-filled believers, brothers and sisters. They're holy. They're anointed. They're walking with God. You find that out in Ephesians 1:13. We already read this. We know who these brothers and sisters are in Christ. But he's telling them, as God is telling us today, there is much the more. Do not think that you have attained already. You have not. Brother Paul taught us that. By the grace of God, I pray there come a time in our lives, if the Lord take us to that point, that we can say, by grace and grace alone, I am ready to be offered. I'm ready, Lord. But until that time is affirmed, I live by the grace of God. I live by his word that, no, I have not attained. But I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So in that, brothers and sisters, what he's telling us here is don't stop, but go on. Go on. And believe all of it. Don't fall short of believing. Praise God. It's just as Paul told those saints in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 13:9. And he does use the word, I love it too. And this we wish. Some people stay away from that word, wish. It's a desire. It's a hope. And it's abounding in hope in one place. It's in Christ. I know, God, you can. God, help us to be willing. God, strengthen me to be willing. Strengthen me to want that desire. I can strive for it of my own, but I'm never going to get it. God, give me the faith by your grace to believe it, to understand that it is at hand, that you have given it to me. But in 2 Corinthians 13:9, he says, and this we wish, even your perfection. God is after full maturity, brothers and sisters, for us no more to be children, but to be the mature sons of God. And let's get into this and read about it, and we'll pick it up in the 16th verse. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And to that I do say amen. And it is exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. It just is beyond. But God is beyond, and his desires are beyond. And help us, Lord, not to fall short in believing you of what you're showing us in your beyond. But I want to take just a moment before we hit this to outline this fivefold prayer, brothers and sisters. And you'll notice it is five. It's grace unfolding. And it's all grace. It's by grace. It's in grace. And we're going to see grace upon grace upon grace here as we go on. But it is us in Christ. The first one is in verse 16. That we may be strengthened. And that is Holy Ghost power time. It's not going to happen anyway but by my Spirit. And we know that. In verse 17 we come to the second. That God would dwell. This isn't talking about just visiting here and there, but the word dwell, if we recall, means to settle down in marriage, to settle down as a husband and a wife. It's not time to play around anymore. It's time to get serious. It's time to occupy as the readied wife. God tells us these things. The readied wife. Mature. No more childish things. All roots of bitterness gone. But yet, how much we want to hang on to these things. All I read about her is she's altogether lovely. Amen. God, get our attention. Get our attention. How many times have we heard these things? Lord, help me to embrace them tonight. Three. Also in verse 17, rooted and grounded. Rooted, not just established, but thoroughly established. Not just grounded, not just a foundation, but a settled foundation. Settled, complete, not moved. And I'm telling you, that's what this Ephesians means. It means fully purposed. There was no kidding here. We're serious about this. There is an urgency. It's like Brother David said, my soul panteth after you. I'm delirious about Jesus Christ, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's really who all believers are. You have that life. But are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to show it unto you? Are you going to allow Him to show you these things? To reveal that you've been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ? It wasn't a half a blessing. It wasn't a quarter blessing. It wasn't parts and pieces of a blessing. You're now blessed with all, and not just blessings, but all the spiritual blessings, and not just the ones that would be here, because they're not just here. They all, good gifts come from above. All the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. You're blessed. I don't need to tell you, have a blessed day. See your blessed day. See your blessed life. That's what God is crying out to us. See it. Allow the Holy Spirit to take the things of mine, which you already have. Doesn't even need to give it unto you. Show it unto you. It's right there. It's right there. Truly, for all God's children, it is right there. Not predicated upon anything. Just, Lord, enlighten the eyes of my understanding. And then, brothers and sisters, number 4 in verse 18, to comprehend. We're going to rejoice in this, that it's not just to understand. Not just to understand it, not just to know about it, but to apprehend it. Allowing the Holy Spirit to make it my own. And then in verse 19, the fifth one, to know. To know. And this word know is the knowledge between a husband and wife. And please go look it up, because it is an idiom or an expression for intercourse. It is the most intimate knowledge that we could ever think of naturally speaking. He gets in your face with this. And I pray that God get in your heart with it. And realize what He's calling you to. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are you? I'm not. God help us, like I said before, help us to blush, help us to understand. It's so far beyond that, I hope you understand, but this is all we know, isn't it, in a sense? But by my Spirit, yea, the deep things of God. What do you think? You willing to trust Him? You willing to step out that far in faith? Well, He has the grace to give you to do it. He does. So, and just think, brothers and sisters, as we launch off to this, and just here in a minute, if we will lay hold of it, really lay hold of this, what God has given to us, lay hold of it, embrace it, apprehend it, we will grow into vessels filled with all the fullness of God. Listen to those words. All, filled with all the fullness. That's full, overflowing. The fullness of God. I mean, that is beyond comprehension. But I can know that. Praise God. I hope you're excited about this. All right. Let's go back to verse 16 and we'll hit it. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Now, like always with anything with God, it always begins in grace. It always remains in grace. It always stays in grace. But it always first, it's grace first. And here's what we read there, right? That He would grant you. What do you think grant means? It's a gift. It's an absolute gift. You did not deserve it. And what is it? It's the gift that we already know about from Ephesians 1. It's the gift. It's the gift, brothers and sisters, to fulfill the very purpose and plan of God of us in Christ. That's the gift. That God would work that in us. That we would know that plan. That we would live in that plan. And it makes me thrill to read and rejoice of our importance to God. See, I need to see that for you as well for me. Do you understand that? By the grace of God, it's not me in Christ, it's us in Christ. It's a body. Praise the Lord. And that's how He sees us. I know He sees us individually. Don't get me wrong. He knows the hairs on our head. But we're talking especially about the bride of Christ and the unity of the Spirit and the oneness and the compactness and the how tightly fit we are together. We should thrill for one another and not try to be contentious. Not wanting to strife and not wanting to bring malice. That's not the bride. Those are not qualities of her. They're not. They're not. Jesus, come in. So He's going to grant you, according to His riches in glory. Now what's that? Grace. Now, so what did He say here? Well, praise God, it's, as my dear brother John Hill preached not too long ago, it's grace for grace. Listen to this. In the ages to come, what is it? The exceeding riches of His grace, right? So it's the exceeding riches of His grace. So listen to what He's saying here. He wants to grant you or give you grace to receive the riches of His grace. I mean, He's coming at you to realize it's a gift. It's an absolute gift. You have it. Be no more like children. Be no more like children. But sons. Sons. There is an urgency. God has placed an urgency in my heart for us in this, brothers and sisters. In the ages to come, it's going to be the exceeding riches of His grace. He gives us this grace to receive the riches of His grace, to understand the plan and the purpose. And then here He is, to strengthen us with His grace so you can live it. Grace to see it. Grace to apprehend it. Grace to live it. Yeah. We grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise His name. Well, brothers and sisters, we have to be strengthened and praise God. And strengthened by the Holy Spirit. We know that. That wonderful guide who leads us and brings the things of Christ. And that's what gives us this strength. But notice, it's always in one thing. It's the inner man. Do you realize that? It's the inner man. It's the new man. It's the Christ in me, the hope of glory man. And lest we ever forget, for the inner man to be strong. For the inner man to be strong, this man must be weak. This man must be lowly. This man must be humble. This man must be willing to receive correction. Jesus Christ, it's you and you alone. The inner man, praise the Lord. And Jesus Christ is what it's all about. And the strengthening by the Holy Ghost is what it's all about. And time and time and time and time and time again, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The one who takes the things of Christ. And praise God, we get this. What things is He talking about? It's all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ things. The things that you already got the moment that you gave your heart to God. All of those things are yours. They're yours. And you know what? He's got them kept for you. He doesn't take them back. Isn't that marvelous? If it was me, you would be in the biggest head game. Oh, I'm taking that back. You didn't deserve that today. But see, that's how our brain works for us. He gave it. You're His inheritance. You're His only inheritance. You're God's inheritance. Get it? God, help us to get that. And again, He's fully vested. All in, He gave His only begotten Son. That's how He loves us. And it just blows me away every time I think about it. Praise His name. That's our God. But He's showing the young prince how rich He is. Born in royalty, praise God. When you're a child of the King, you can't help it. You're born in royalty. That's your DNA. You're children of the King. But you have a Father that loves you so much, He's requiring you to grow in it. He really is. He's given you everything for that. That's why it does hurt. That's why our hearts are convicted when we don't want to yield to it. Because that's who you are. I love how Paul, he'll begin the fourth chapter, the first verse. I was looking at that as I came out. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. This isn't a doubt. This isn't a, well, I think it is. It's an absolute fact that this is who you are. That's what's so beautiful about it, brothers and sisters. We don't need to try to be. We just need to realize who we are in Christ. And quit worrying about all of these deceptions and all of these lies. We get so focused in that. Oh, I wish I wasn't like this. You know, you're not. You're not. He gave you His life, and that's the life you live. And to embrace that beauty, that unconditional love, that unconditional gift that I've granted you with. I want you to see all of it, all of it. Yea, the deep things, the exceeding riches of my grace. But it's going to take grace to get that, which I already gave you. It's not going to take your mind. It's not going to take your works. It's not going to take anything. Matter of fact, that'll take you away from it. It's grace. It is wonderful, isn't it? No matter how many times you see it, He'll open it more if you'll want it. If you'll want it. Now, you're born in royalty, but it's now to grow up into Him in all things. Growing up to be kings. No more princes, but kings. To fully understand the privileges. And there's wonderful privilege in this. We understand that. But responsibility. There's responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. To understand the family. The body. How precious you are to Him and to me, and how we're one in Christ. And then to understand the wealth and to understand that it's all in His love. And I think about how God's been just so locked into us. He always has been. But especially as of late, I think of how He's witnessing to us. He's given us the evidence and the dealing with us in what we're studying on Sunday mornings. The fruit. It's just so perfect to me. And I pray God it's the Spirit, and He brings this into this unity. But the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of it, brothers and sisters. It is the absolute evidence of living and rejoicing the wealth of His love. And the lack of it in our lives shows us that we're still behaving like children. I don't care what you know. I don't. In a sense, I do. But it's what you live. It's what you embrace. It's what you've apprehended in Christ. And then here it is. We'll get to that here in a minute again. But here comes the wealth in verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. In love. In love. Praise His name. We're just going to stay right here, so let's not get anxious. If we can get through this verse, and I'm sorry to rush through it in the next 30 minutes, and I mean that, and I hope you know the sincerity that's in that, but I believe the Holy Spirit will lay this out a little bit for us. But here it is, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, brothers and sisters, we understand that Christ lives in every believer. We know this. We're sure of this. He tells us this. He's there. But to dwell, we mentioned it earlier, and I pray that we make mark this, that we pay heart attention to this. That isn't something tonight that we just heard again, but heart attention to. God is after us. He's a fervent lover of our soul. He is the lover, really, of our soul. He can give us that love to love one another and love souls. I know it. By the grace of God, He's bringing that in my life. Can't explain it. Don't know why. It's just His grace. But brothers and sisters, this is something far greater than just visiting. This is dwelling. This is to settle down in marriage. Settling down in marriage. When you settle down in marriage, you rest. A real marriage rests. A real marriage is at ease. You don't worry about the, do you love me today? Do you love me tomorrow? You know, that kind of thing. It's not that. You rest. You love. You know you're loved. And in knowing you're loved, you love. I love Him because He first loved me. Yes. See, we're getting into these, and these simplicities in Christ, they bring this all together. But there is a complete reliance. There's a complete dependence on the source of it all here. It's Jesus Christ. See, there's no more wrestling here. He's calling out to a life that is going to rest in Him and rest in His love. And a life that rests so much that the very image of Christ is just evident in the life. It's true. Said it the other Sunday, I do. I desire that God, by His grace, can cause in me to have my Lord rest in me as the virtuous woman husband rests in her. He has peace. That's only what grace could bring. My wife, she rests in her husband because I love her. And that's all by grace. Nothing of me. But her heart rests because I love her. And that's all glory to God. But Brother Copley states, Christ's not just a visitor to you. Not just a blessing from time to time. Not just when you feel like it or when you're not in one of your funks. I kind of added that. I don't want anybody to get bent out of shape. No, not like that. But Christ is the possessor and the director of the house. The possessor and the director of the house. Always. Always. I think how many excuses we make. Environmental. Biological. Chemical. We're without excuse. Did He say that? Yeah, I did. Because I know who's for us. I know who's for us. All right. Time to arise. This is a life that will rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It took a lot of things for David to realize that, didn't he? Praise the Lord. I don't know how much time I have. I don't know how much time you have. I pray we realize it now. How about it? Yeah. Now. This is occupying this life, brothers and sisters. The Bible tells us, the wife hath made herself ready. Listen to that. Not the bride, not the bride-to-be. The wife hath made herself ready. She's occupying now as His wife. See, I want to occupy now as His wife by His grace, because I don't know if I'm even going to get to the end of this message. I don't. I know I'm in His hand. And I remember a brother saying something to me about that. Oh, well, God would will. I don't know if God wills that. I don't know how many breaths or heartbeats I have or you have. But I do know this, that I pray by His grace that the moment that I say so long to this life, that at that time I occupied as His readied wife. Now, I'm leaving that to His keeping. I'm trusting by faith that He gives me by His grace. I don't stress. I don't. But I'll tell you what. I don't want to live in denial either. I don't want to live in a hope of somewhere either. I want to live by the Word of God. All right? Okay. I don't know if you'll come back next week, so I got to give it to you now. The readied wife, all the graces of the fruit, fully evident. Brother Copley would bring this out. He loved to talk about perfect symmetry. That means every curve, every shape, every line was perfect. I think about Brother Ray as he shakes his head. I don't mean to put you on the spot, brother, but he's a craftsman. And I think about how when he come into my house and he was working on some certain things, and I appreciated the detail, the lines, how it needed to look. How much more so our God. He doesn't deal in junk. It's perfect. And a little child, a baby, is going to be perfect too. But he's talking about perfect maturity. He wants you to grow up and grow up into him in all things. Not some things. Not in the things that you want and want to give him and the things you don't. Because this isn't what it's speaking of here. It's all things. It's perfect symmetry. I was thinking, no matter what angle you view her from, she doesn't have a bad side. She doesn't get out there in front of the camera and says, well, take this side because this... It doesn't matter how you view her. It's Christ in me is the hope of glory, and it's stunning. It's magnificent. It's drop-dead gorgeous. To the point he just says, honey, it's all yours. I was rejoicing with a brother today, and I was so grateful to God. And I tease my wife a little bit about organization. And I know she wants to be more organized and all of these different things. And I was joking with this brother. I said, I finally had to tell her. Said, honey, as much as you want to believe it, I did not marry you because you were going to organize me. I married you to look at you every day, to see you. He wasn't captivated because of what she naturally did or how talented she was or how many great works she did or how nice she was to the other women or this or that or any of those things. He was captivated because of her beauty. Yeah. And that's what's going to captivate him, brothers and sisters. About us. Grace. Grace is what makes us beautiful. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. So, whether it's the height or the depth or the breadth or the length, it's Christ. It's Christ in me. The hope is glory. The hope of glory. And notice here again, as it says in the scripture, it is all by faith. By faith. See, I've come to the point that I believe that He wants this for me. You know, when I'm not faithful, He's still faithful. Do you know when I stop believing, He still knows what Christ in me, the hope of glory, is? That's amazing. See, no matter how much we naturally could be nice and kind and want for people, we have a limit. God has none. He has none. He has none. He's always there. He's always willing, always able, always ready. Praise the Lord. And as we rejoiced on Sunday, brothers and sisters, so few want to step out this far in faith. They do. They just don't want to do that. Again, speaking of some of the writings of Sister Bodie, Brother Copley, they speak of the shoreline. God tells us to launch out, to get out there, swim deep. No more ankle plan. Up to the thighs, it was great. Nope, I'm swimming. And I'm swimming so far, I'm not going back. I'm swimming so far by faith, I'm not even looking back. Don't look back at the shoreline. And it was sweet because I was meditating on that. And the Lord showed me that that shore, that whole land, you know what that is? That self. That self. All along that shoreline is everything about self. And he's called me to launch out on the boat of grace. Yeah. But see, I always want to come back to self. I was thinking all the ports that self offers. The port of self-pity. The port of self-consciousness. The port of self-indulgent. The port of selfish. The port of self-righteousness. The port of self-condemnation. And self, and self, and self, and self, and self, and self. And amen. And you have nobody else to blame because you're not swimming deep, but self. And that's the truth, and we know that. And God help us to launch out and quit making excuses. Quit making excuses. Quit. It's time. It's more than time. It's overdue time. How long have we heard this message? Even if it was the first time, it's overdue time. It is. Because today's the day. Today is the day. See, God is faithful. Listen. Listen to this. God is faithful. But just saying it over and over will never change you. Just saying it over and over is not, nothing's going to change. Oh, God is faithful. God is faithful. Yes, He is. Absolutely. He's never changed. He was faithful in ages past. And that's before you could ever even imagine what that even means. Always. Alpha, Omega, faithful. Change only comes when you believe and live it. When you believe it and live it. And it becomes evident. And the weights are gone. And there's a soaring in your life. And I ask us, do we really want Him as bridegroom? See, He knows. But really, do we want Him as bridegroom? And if we do, we're really, 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 really going to have to launch out and leave it all behind. All behind. All behind. How deep are you going to let Him go? All behind? All behind? Okay. Well, here it is then, if you're willing. He's got all the strength too. All the strengthening by faith. Oh, yes. And it's love. It's all about love and His love perfected in us. As we're told here, we're beseeched to be rooted and grounded in love. It's going to be love that brings us through. Not my love for Him, but His love for me. She finally realized, I am my beloved's. It was precious for her to say, my beloved is mine. But she finally realizes, I am my beloved's. I'm just His. And His desire is toward me. See, when I rely on my desire, that's going to fail. His desire for me never fails. It just never fails. It never, ever fails. And that is a flat out joy unspeakable and full of glory. There isn't anything better that I could ever, ever hear. Ever taste, ever drink, ever live. But it's simply and purely the love of God. Now, He's going to exhort us in a minute. And He's going to tell us, He's going to say, no. Now, honeys, but now it's time to grow up into it. To know it. But before that can ever happen, it has to be agreed, brothers and sisters. I mean, really agreed that love is the entire basis of it all. That God just loves us. That He gave His only begotten Son because He just loves us. That nothing that we could ever do, say, or anything, once we're a child of God, could ever separate us from His love. That God is love. And that's how he operates, is in love. And then that, brothers and sisters, happens but one way, rooted and grounded in love. See, we still go back into flesh and we're going to root or ground in works, aren't we? We're going to try to root and ground. You can't root and ground in that. It don't work. That, you didn't even get to the soil. You didn't. No. It's rooted and grounded in love. And that means to be fixed in it, set, not moved, not tossed to and fro with every wind of emotion. We understand wind of doctrine, but let's go further here as well too. Any wind of emotion, not moved by any wind of thought or distraction or a trial or a test. Nothing. When he said, I press, there was nothing deterring it. There wasn't anything that was going to get in the way. I see the mark. He set that out. And the mark is grace and grace alone. And I'm, by his grace, going to apprehend the grace, the exceeding riches of the grace. That's why people say, oh, you talk about grace all the time. Well, that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. You got it. Good. But you really don't, or you would rejoice in it. You'd be so thankful for that grace. It sat you here today. It has you, if you're rejoicing at all, I pray you are, it's grace. Because you get in a vision of the exceeding riches of it. But brothers and sisters, it's rooted and grounded. And you got to think about this. For something to become rooted and grounded, it must first be planted. And before something could ever be planted, the soil must be prepared to receive it. Fallow ground must be broken up. Amen. 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 Fallow ground must be broken up. God wants a complete, fertile parcel. How wonderful it is to mow this strip, or to, I should say, grind it up, plow that, because that was easy. But that place with those big rocks over there, I can't go over there. What's God want to do with that? Everything. That's the finishing cuts. And it is. Rejoice in it. Be willing to be exposed. Be willing to be humbled. Really. Sunday we're going to talk about meekness. If you think you have a reputation here tonight, God help you. God help you. And I'm talking about in living waters. Oh, I'm somebody in living waters. I actually had a good day today, I want you to know. I didn't have a bad day today. His love is after you tonight. His love is after me tonight. We are absolutely nothing. Zip. In anything in us. But we're everything in Christ. It's so awesome. It's so awesome. I'm so thankful. But hard and stiff-necked people do not have rooted and grounded love. They don't have it. It's like seed, as the Bible tells us, that's just scattered. Washes away. Birds come and eat it. Burns up in the sun. And that's anyone who does not tender themselves before God to receive it. And that's the difference, brothers and sisters. Listen to this. That's the difference of the word being here or here. It's total difference. It is. It's it. It works effectual in them that believe. And faith worketh by love. It is that and that alone. And God is love. You're not love. God's love. I'm completely dependent upon Him. He brings it all back all the time. Son, it's grace. Give it up, son. It's grace. Quit thinking and planning, son. It's grace. Quit worrying about this, son. It's grace. You're the new man. It's grace. It's all powerful. Grace. Broken up soil receives the seed. Then it can be planted and covered for the watering. And yes, it needs to be moistened too, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. Well-watered soil produces good fruit. We need to listen to the word. And daily, take heed to it. Yes. We need fellowship, brothers and sisters. We don't lock ourselves away. Don't try to figure out why you don't need to come to church. Don't do that. Really don't. You'll have a list so long, you can't imagine. The devil will give you so many better things to do and reasons why you shouldn't be here. And every one of our names is going to be on it, why you shouldn't be here. Well, I remember one time. See? Yeah. How about we need prayer every day, huh? Oh, yeah. And I appreciate God putting you on your knees in the morning and with your family and with your spouse or kids. You need that too. But it's always. It's always. You best be in continual fellowship with Jesus Christ or you're in trouble. And I'm speaking from a very extremely, incredibly weak vessel. I know. And you are too. And you might just even be weaker than me if you think you're strong at all. Moment by moment, you need to be conversing with Jesus Christ. Let Him sing to you. Let Him speak to you. And then He'll sing through you some beautiful stuff to sing back to Him. It's awesome. But you need a preacher and you need a teacher too. I've seen so many think, well, I got it. I've got it. I went to Bible camp. Huh? I sat under Brother So-and-so's meeting for 50 years. I got it. I went to Bible college. Graduated in record time. Let me tell you something. If that's your attitude, I'll guarantee you don't got it. I'll guarantee you're so far from getting it. God help you. God help you. Because the learning and the call to fellowship, brothers and sisters, it never ends. And I appreciated a brother who, by grace, gave over 70 years of his life to it. But it wasn't him. It was the grace of God that was with him. The same grace of God that's standing right here with me. That I pray by the grace of God I'll introduce to you on Sunday morning again. Or tomorrow if we see me. The grace of God that's with you too. But he said, the more I go on, the more I realize I don't know. The more I go on, the more I realize there is to know. And I'm thankful to Jesus Christ. I'm learning that too. It's so wonderful. It's so not boring. It's such a privilege to study the Word of God. It's not a hard thing. It would be impossible for you or me. It would grow old so fast, wouldn't it? And you know those times that you tried in your own strength to go at it and it ain't going to happen. It's the grace of God that is with you. It's the grace of God that's with you. Many today are unwilling to be taught, for they know it all. Unwilling to love because they're more right than God. Unwilling to surrender because they're too stiff-necked to bend. Now, I know sometimes it's hard to receive these things, brothers and sisters. And I'm thankful to God tonight. It's not hard to give it. It's not. And I am thankful to the Lord. This has not been a hard message. And God forbid if I wouldn't speak boldly the love of Christ. I pray that I would preach the word, that if there is a slumber going on in your life, that it would wake you up. Because I sure as well don't want upon me any accusation or cause that you woke up in the midst of a tribulation. Do you know how fast and quickly that could happen? Yeah. It's not a chill that goes up my spine. It's an ache that wrenches my heart. Lord, I know I would be disappointed greatly, tears in my eyes. But how much more my Father? How much more your Father? I remember my mom saying to me when I was a kid, and I pray this comes out right. I pray the Lord encourages it correctly. But my mom used to worry about me. She said, "Son, you work so hard. You're doing these things and all of these things." And my dad would even say it as well too. He said, "We're pleased with you. You don't need to do it for us. You do it for yourself." Never really thought much about that, and the Lord really brought it to my heart this year. I'm thankful by grace I did think of my Father. You understand what I'm saying? It's not any goodness of me. It's Christ in me, and it's Christ in you. I don't want to hurt the one who loves me so. I just don't. I love him. It's not in any sense of fear of retaliation towards me. It's I love him. I love my Heavenly Father, and you love your Heavenly Father. And know that he's given you the grace to please him. Do you know that? And do you know that that's all that pleases him? And that's all he's crying out to you. Just apprehend my grace. Apprehend the grace to get your eyes open to know who you are in my Son. Know it. Live it. Embrace it. You don't force anything here. Yield to it. It'll be good fruit. It's always good fruit in him. It's always profitable in him. It's always increase in him. And it's never going to come from you or me. Never. Gets us off track. Off the mark. It's the grace of God that was with me. Just like Brother Paul, he said, "I labored more abundantly than you all, but it wasn't me. It was the grace of God that's with me." And that's the same grace, isn't it? And it's the same grace tonight that has me hold fast that crown which I have, that no man take it. And I see a lot of faces that have treasured crowns too. And I love that you treasure your crown. But know that you hold it only by grace. Know that you were only given it by grace. Know someday that you'll only wear it by grace. Ain't it wonderful? Ain't it wonderful? Let's stand.